Good morning, Santa Fe, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. Today is Friday, so that means that later in the program, Robert Knott will be with us, speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome Linda Siegel with today's legislative wrap-up.
Good morning,
welcome,
Mary
Linda.
Charlotte.
We're here to talk about the never-ending story known as the 2007 legislative session. I guess it's over?
It's over for the moment. Last week, the Senate and the House both adjourned after doing two of the eight bills that the governor wanted.
Well, we will get to what those two bills were, but let's wrap this whole thing up by looking at a kind of overview of what were the main themes in this session.
Well, I think there were the legislative main themes, and then there were the governor's main themes. And, of course, the governor had an agenda which included some crime bills with meth labs and domestic violence and ignition interlock DWI issues, the campaign reform issues that he wanted, the GRIP, which was the funding, the next series of funding for highways throughout the state. And he wanted the domestic partner bill, and he had some other agenda items. The legislature, you know, every legislator has their own package of bills that they'd like to see. So there were almost 3,000 bills, memorials, and constitutional amendments introduced this session, and only less than 600, about 590, actually passed through both chambers. And, of course, the governor has till today to finish signing or vetoing those bills.
So what were some of the ones that got passed that were most significant to the future life of our citizens?
Well, there were funding bills, of course. The $5.6 billion state budget is really important, and $2.5 million of that goes to education. That's about 45% of the budget that goes to public education. That's, of course, very important, and we had an increase there of about $198 million. So to get the teacher salaries up and to expand some areas like PE in the schools, we talk about obesity, and here's an opportunity to get more PE teachers in. Kindergarten Plus, getting young children who need to get a leg up before they even start school, right after kindergarten and pre-K, going to a couple months of extra school. So some really positive things in education and the big budget. Medicaid increased by $79 million.
Is that right?
So that's a good health care. And, of course, some of that is just to maintain our current levels. But there's definitely some expansion in that $79 million, getting some of the people, adults below 100%, at 100% of poverty, getting them covered by Medicaid. Because, as you know, we've talked about, there's about 400,000 people in New Mexico that don't have health insurance. And so they don't have good access to health care. They have emergency room access, and they have clinics, which they might have to wait 2 or 3 months for. So getting everybody insured is really important. And we did a little expansion there, but we still got a long way to go.
Yeah, and the health security bill, which would have provided coverage for everybody, did not make it once again.
Right. The House bill died, the Senate bill died, and part of the reason is because there is a health care task force, which is supposed to be coming up with their report in June of this year, which has studied or is studying three different alternatives for health care, and the health security single payer is one of them. So we're all anxious to see what that report's going to recommend, or at least show dollar-wise, so that in the 2008 session, I hope that we really can deal with getting people health insurance coverage one way or another.
That would be awfully nice for many New Mexicans, including
yes,
many of them sitting right here in the Santa Fe Baking Company. What about tax cuts? Everybody's looking and scrambling for money, but then they're giving it back piecemeal to the people?
Well, some of it went to the people. There is about $94 million in tax cuts. One of the, I think, most significant tax cuts was the low-income tax credit, which gives low-income people, about 200,000 New Mexicans, a total of $29 million, not each of them getting that, of course, but getting some kind of assistance there. Then there were lots of gross receipts tax cuts. You know, New Mexico doesn't have a statewide property tax. So the much of our revenue in the state in the form of taxes comes from gross receipts tax. And we initially taxed everything. And over the years, we've whittled away people's gross receipts tax, like healthcare providers don't have to pay gross receipts tax on certain things, and
food doesn't get taxed.
We got rid of the food tax,
which makes a certain amount of sense.
Although we increased the taxes on everything else that you buy, but when we cut the food tax, so
tobacco, firearms, and cigarettes, and
well, and
alcohol.
Diapers, and you know, cleaning, anything that wasn't food got a 0.5% gross receipts tax increase.
Right.
But this year, as every year, we whittled away more of those. There was a gross receipts tax exemption for airplanes, because you know we have Eclipse, the big aircraft manufacturing company in Albuquerque. We gave more film production tax credits, rural job tax credits for creating new jobs. And
now, is this still gross receipts, or that's another thing?
No, these are gross receipts taxes. And we continue to do that every year so that we're eroding that gross receipts tax base, which is very important. But special, you know, special interest groups and businesses come to the legislature and say, okay, I need to be exempted from gross receipts tax. And sometimes there are really good reasons for doing that.
So one of these years, the more it happens, the fire departments and so on will come forward and say, we have no money left because there's no gross receipts tax.
We'll see. I mean, it does impact us. And when the governor first came in, he created a blue ribbon task force to look at taxes. And they came up with a number of recommendations, but the governor didn't like a lot of them, so they really didn't happen. But we're going to have to seriously look at taxes in New Mexico because of how we fund government. And right now we're on a gravy train because oil and gas gives us a whole lot of tax revenue, which is really important, and which is why we've expanded government over the last few years, because we've had all this extra revenue.
And so when the ground is bled dry of those resources, we're back to being a poor, arid state.
Well, We're still not very rich in money, even though gas and oil, and we have created these huge funds that the idea is when we do run out of gas and oil and we're no longer getting the taxes from the immediate withdrawal, we've got these funds that generate some revenue, but we will be in trouble at that point.
Let's talk about minimum wage. There were all sorts of minimum wage bills. Which one finally got passed?
Well, there were two major minimum wage bills. The one that finally passed was a compromise to get it out of the Senate, because the Senate is the more conservative body in the New Mexico legislature. So the minimum wage will be $6.50 starting in January of 2008. And then it goes up to $7.50 in January of 2009. There is no indexing, so it just stays
for the cost of living.
For the cost of living. And there, one of the bills had a 4 or 5 year preemption on it, I think, and that is now to 2 years. There's a 2 year preemption for communities, local governments, they can't pass a higher minimum wage in that 2 years. But it, of course, Santa Fe is exempted because
because we're grandfathered in.
Yes, right. So that that was a hard-fought battle, of course, to get that up, and now it is the law. The governor has signed it, and it will go into effect.
Now, I thought we could spend the rest of the session today talking about cockfighting.
Yes, that took a long time to pass. Senator Mary Jane Garcia, I think, started introducing that bill. She's from Las Cruces. She started introducing that bill in the mid-'80s. And so finally, 2007, it finally passed and was signed by the governor.
Now, realistically, when you pass a law like this, it's not going to go away. It's going to go underground. What happens when people get caught doing the cockfighting thing?
Well, there are penalties in it. Misdemeanor for the first, and then I think it builds on that. That was another really contentious issue that some of the people who support cockfighting wanted to make sure the penalties weren't too extreme.
Right.
So, you know, we had just, a few weeks ago, some guy in northern New Mexico said he was going to have a cockfight, and And it had already been banned in that county, and the police came down on him and kept it from happening. But I'm sure we're going to see that happening. In fact, many of the people who were there supporting the bill said, we're going to keep doing this, and you'll just have to find us.
Now, this morning on the BBC, there was a very detailed report about global warming and the new international report on climate change and so on. Where are we with energy bills? There was a lot of proposed energy legislation and clean energy and global warming fighting things and so on. What actually happened?
Well, I think one of the most significant things that didn't happen, which was good, was the Red Rock coal plant up in Navajo country. And there was a bill to give them an $85 million tax cut, tax credits, and that bill was killed. So that's a positive thing. And
so it could still go forward without the $85 million blessing from the taxpayers
right.
of New Mexico.
Absolutely. But at least we didn't support doing something that puts more carbon dioxide into the environment. And there were quite a few positive bills that passed addressing the environment. More tax credits, again, for like building energy-efficient homes. Tax credits for doing the LEED certification, which is not only energy efficient, but water and building out of good building materials. One bill that the governor really wanted was the Renewable Energy Transmission Authority, which created the ability to facilitate the transmission of the renewable energies that will be created through solar or other ways. Strategic water reserve infrastructure, getting the ability to buy more water rights and create an infrastructure for the delivery of water, particularly in rural areas. And one really important one related to farmers throughout the state. You know, we've had this policy that says if you don't use your water, you lose it. And so people, even if they want to conserve, they have to use that water up, or
they have a disincentive to conserve
right.
water.
Yeah. So a bill passed that would keep farmers who did things, conservation things, or drip irrigation, or whatever it is, so that they use less water, they would still keep their water rights. That was a very important bill.
Now, has the state taken on any of the projections for global warming, which would actually pretty likely reduce the total amount of water we even have to allocate?
I don't think so. I don't think we've taken that on. We did do a bill to control mercury emissions that gives the Environmental Improvement Board the ability to make industries use the best technology to prevent putting more mercury in the air and the water. One environmental one that's really consumer-oriented, you know, most of us, if we own property, we don't own the mineral rights for that property, and so gas and oil can just come in, and you wake up one morning, and there's a drilling rig.
There's a man in my yard with a drill.
And that was sort of how it worked, but over the last few years, the consumers and the oil and gas people have gotten together, and a good bill passed that will protect the consumer, the property owner, from having just somebody come in. They've got to, you know, give you notice, and they got to reclaim the land afterwards, and very positive things like that.
Meaning really restore it back to the way it was?
Right, yes, yes.
And if they don't, do they come and get them and make them do it?
Well, then you can sue them and make them do it, whereas in the past, they had no obligation to do that. Biodiesel, big bill on biodiesel that would that says by 2012 all diesel has to be 5% biodiesel. So that's a positive thing. And I have a diesel Volkswagen, and I get to buy the biodiesel fuel, which costs a little bit more, but I'm glad to do it at the Baca Street
But it
station.
Does it does put significantly less junk into the air.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So those are just some of the environmental bills that passed. It was a good session pretty much for environmental bills because a lot of the bad stuff died and some very positive things happened.
Well, congratulations to our legislators and governor on that. What about domestic partners?
Well, you know, we first introduced domestic partners in 2005. It took us 12 years of going to the legislature every other year to pass the amendments to the Human Rights Act, which the Human Rights Act says you can't discriminate in employment, housing, credit, public accommodations based on a whole list of things.
And did they did the lists increase over the years?
Well, we were trying to get sexual orientation and gender identity added to that. And after 12 years, in 2003, we finally got that passed. So then, of course, the next phase is to pass something like civil unions, domestic partnerships, so that people in same-sex relationships can have some of the same benefits of someone who's married. And
they can both wear bolo ties.
Which, of course, now is the state's official tie.
Is the state tie, and you can wear it in the state house, presumably.
Yes. So in 2005, we did the first introduction of that, and it died in the Senate, as many things die in the Senate. And this was the next effort to do that, and it is not marriage. It cannot be marriage because, of course, the federal government passed in 1993 the Defense of Marriage Act, which defines marriage as that between one man and one woman.
1993?
Yes.
That was signed by William Jefferson Clinton?
It certainly was. Yeah. So, or it might have been 96. I can't remember now. But the domestic partner in New Mexico would give same-sex couples pretty much the same rights, responsibilities, and obligations of marriage, but it would be called something different, and it's not marriage. Passed out of the House, got killed in the Senate, or got amended in the Senate to be a worthless piece of legislation. And then in the special session, that was one of the things the governor wanted to see, and again passed it out of the House. But in the Senate, we probably do have the votes to pass it in the Senate if everyone is there.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, in the special session, a lot of Democrats had... funny, the Republicans didn't plan any vacations right after the session, but all the Democrats did. So there were off and on either 3 to 6 Democrats missing during different times of the special session. So
slackers.
Yeah, that bill went down. But the governor said he would put it on the call on his agenda for 2008. So we'll be back. And Bill Waters at the New Mexican wrote a good editorial a few days ago that said, legislators, you might as well just pass this thing because they're going to keep coming back until you do, and that's the truth.
Have them write that same article about health care.
Right, universal health care.
Universal health care.
Yeah, I think actually that's even a harder one than issues of gay rights.
Well, the thing about issues of gay rights is that it actually doesn't cost anybody money to have your neighbors treated like human beings. Mm-hmm. But it does cost money, or seems to cost money. I mean, what the actual economics are something we could probably do a week-long series of radio shows about with the health insurance. It may actually save a lot of money to do universal health care.
Yes.
Am I obsessed about this? Let's move on.
Okay, what else do you want to talk about?
What else was important?
Well, I talked a little bit about education before. Aside from increasing the revenue there, the dropout rate, a bill was passed to make the dropout rate 18. It's now 17, so now you can't drop out of school until you're 18. I have mixed feelings about that. And in 2009...
But you can get married if you're heterosexual.
That's right.
But you can't drink for another 4 years after that.
No, you can't you drink? Oh, yeah, it's 21, isn't
it? It's 21.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there will be more units to graduate after 2009, another math and science unit. The number goes up to 24.
Now, let's talk for a moment about ethics, because the ethics rules were something that were a bone of contention. Did we pass any kind of ethics reform?
No, that, again, was something that the governor wanted in the special session, and it did not happen. The bill that passed for campaign reform was one that would limit the gifts that elected officials and state employees could receive. So if you're one of those categories, you can only get a gift of $250 from a lobbyist. And certainly
is that cash gift, or does that also include ski trips and fancy dinners?
That's trips and dinners and lodging and entertainment and tickets to sporting events, those kinds of things, which, you know, are fairly popular among elected officials of all kinds. So that will go into effect in middle of June, I think, and so it's not one of the biggies. One of the big ones that that a lot of us wanted were limits on campaign contributions, because New Mexico is one of the few states left in the country where you can give any amount of money to any candidate except for the Public Regulation Commission, which does have campaign limits on it. So, as we saw, I mean, the governor got $50,000 checks from different people or businesses or whatever. And legislators, you know, the typical legislative race, like for a Senate seat, is usually under $50,000, and maybe for a House seat, $30,000. Depends on the district and if you have opposition and all that. But they're fairly inexpensive compared to other states' races to run. But someone could give a $10,000 check to a legislator or a legislative candidate if they wanted to. And oftentimes, lobbying groups, businesses give $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 checks. So that bill did not pass, so there are still no campaign contribution limits to any candidates. The Ethics Commission that you were talking about, that did not pass, and that would be,
what were they trying to get passed?
That would be the creation of an independent body that could review and have subpoena power and be able to bring in people who apparently have violated their political office's ethics. So in the situation, the most glaring one that I can think of in recent history is when Manny Aragon got a $100,000 contract from Wackenhut Prisons while he was in the Senate and the leader of the Senate. And suddenly, his opposition to private prisons reversed.
Melted away.
And though maybe it had nothing to do with that, who knows? It had the appearance of impropriety. And for a sitting legislator to get a contract to do lobbying, even in another state, when he or she is dealing with that issue, it's the appearance of an ethics violation.
And they weren't able to pass any kind of legislation dealing with that type of thing?
No. That's the House passed all of the campaign reform bills, but they pretty much died in the Senate because of the opposition of a few of the Democratic senators.
I guess it's like asking the fox to pass a law to put padlocks on the hen house.
Well, you know, the reality is this doesn't apply to most legislators or most politically elected people. We don't pass laws anywhere to deal with, you know, the masses. We pass them to deal with the few people who violate the law,
right,
who violate ethics. And there are a few people in any elected body who do things that apparently appear to be illegal or are illegal are unethical.
What was the opposition? I mean, what arguments do you have in opposition of ethics reform?
Well, the most popular opposition comment, like from Michael Sanchez, who's a majority leader, was that it's not a problem in this body. But then right after the session,
front page news.
Yeah, you know, and Manny Aragon was. And if he hadn't gotten the job at Highlands, would still be a member of the New Mexico State Senate. So things happen.
Well, we've just got a minute or two left, Linda Siegel. What do you want to let people know before we go? There's, of course, now the question of vetoes and pocket vetoes. A lot of things were passed. Are they all going to be signed?
Well, it's looking pretty good for most things getting signed. There were 546 bills that passed, and already the governor has signed 360 of them. And he's only done a handful of vetoes. So by today, we'll know what's left. But I think it looks very good for most of those bills being signed. And it was really, until the special session, it was really a collegiate people really got along pretty well in the session, and they sent the budget bill and the capital outlay bill up to the governor early, and he didn't veto anything in the capital outlay bill, which is the, quote, pork bill.
Right.
And he only vetoed a couple hundred million out of the big House Bill 2 budget bill. So he's not been in a vetoing mood this year, and that's made a lot of people happy.
Well, Linda Siegel, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the air. Linda Siegel is with us during the legislative session with the legislative update and today with the legislative wrap-up, and it's just terrific to have you.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte. I really enjoyed doing the updates.
And we will see you next year, and we hope we will see you before that, too.
Okay, bye.
We're going to take a little break right now. Robert Knott will be with us in just a moment. Stay tuned to KSFR.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by Garcia Street Books, also a supporter of the Santa Fe Poet Laureate program. Here's a poem by Laureate Arthur Z.
The Owl. The path was purple in the dusk. I saw an owl perched on a branch. And when the owl stirred, a fine dust fell from its wings. I was silent then, and felt the owl quaver, and at dawn, waking, the path was green in the May light.
Dennis Johnson, recipient of a Lannan Fellowship in Fiction and a Whiting Writers Award, will be at the Lensic Wednesday, April 11th, as part of Lannan's Readings and Conversation series. He has published 4 books of fiction, including Jesus' Son and Angels, and 5 books of poetry, including Inner Weather and The Incognito Lounge. His short stories have appeared in The New Yorker, Atlantic Monthly, and The Paris Review. You won't want to miss this very entertaining evening. Tickets available at the Lensic, 988-1234.
In touch with our community, KSFR Santa Fe.
KSFR programming is underwritten by Locals Care. Locals Care Community Cards reward you for shopping and dining at over 100 locally owned businesses. You can support a Santa Fe nonprofit and earn rewards for yourself at any Locals Care business. Find program information and a current list of participating businesses and nonprofits at locals-care.com. Offered in cooperation with the Santa Fe Alliance and sponsored by Century Bank, Los Alamos National Bank, the New Mexican, and the City of Santa Fe.
I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He's the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's here every Friday speaking of the arts. And by the way, I would like to say thank you to all of those wonderful people out in radio land who contributed to the KSFR Fund Drive, which, thanks to you, is over as of yesterday. And welcome, Robert Knott.
Congratulations on the fund drive. That's
Thank
terrific.
You. So, I don't know if anybody took the autographed picture of you and me this year.
Well, I don't know if we even autographed it.
Well, we would autograph it if they had paid for it.
Oh, well, that's amazing.
But we did find out that dogs and cats had to... We found out that people thought that dogs were better than cats, but that just wasn't true.
What do you mean?
We had a contest on Wednesday, and you could pledge with every dollar you pledged, you got to vote dog or cat. And they were even, they were neck and neck, and then dogs edged ahead, and then finally cats, I think, manipulated the vote. But the cats won.
The cats won. What do you mean? Well, cats
I'm not sure it was fair and square.
Well, they probably pulled some...
Some fur.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, let's talk about things to do with your kids this weekend.
All right.
Now, I don't have children, but I know some of you do, and you're probably going crazy just trying to figure out what to do with them. So, in case you didn't know, Rock and Rollers Event Arena at 2915 Agua Fria Street, down there by Siler. They have music, skating, concessions, karaoke, everything. Well, almost everything. Well, they have a lot. 7 to 9 p.m. Friday tonight, and also 7:30 to 9:30 on Wednesday night. So you want something to do with your kids or drop your kids off if it's safe, bring them down to Rock and Rollers. The Santa Fe Farmers Market, I don't know how many kids like that, but sometimes there's fun stuff happening. Like I don't think they have like organ grinder monkeys, but sometimes they have like that really great marimba band, and they have like jugglers and other antics. Although an organ grinder monkey would fit in very well there if you could find an organ grinder. Anyway, that's 9 to 1 p.m. It's now at El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe, 1615B Paseo de Peralta. And the Santa Fe Artist Market is going, again, 9 to 2 p.m. on Saturdays over in Casa Solana Shopping Center on Alameda. Preschool story time is always fun before you go to school, before your kids go to school. And that's at Lafarge Library, and it's free. That's over on Llano Street, which is off St. Mike's. It's Tuesdays at 10:30 a.m. And then they do more reading and stories, and I'm messing up. Forget it. Anyway, 10:30 Tuesdays, Yano Street, Lafarge Library. If you're interested in making recycled art, get over to the Children's Museum this morning, 9 a.m. You can learn how to make recycled art. A strange thing they're doing at 10 a.m., which you're welcome to comment on if you like, is they're teaching you how to make graham crackers.
Graham crackers?
Yeah. What's that about? You think like you're mixing them up in a bowl?
I have no idea.
Did you like graham crackers when you were little?
Oh, yes.
What about now?
I still like them.
And you make them with s'mores, don't you?
I did buy graham crackers. I don't make them.
Well, if you want to make them or make recycled art, get over to the Santa Fe Children's Museum at 1050 Old Pecos Trail. And tipping you off a week in advance, once again, for your kids, the City of Santa Fe Arts Commission is teaming up with Artworks to present a workshop, an arts workshop for parents, teachers, and kids from grades kindergarten to 6 next Saturday, not this Saturday, next Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Stuart Udall Center for Museum Resources up on Museum Hill. I'm going to give you a phone number for that because you have to register. 474-4868. And again, that's next Saturday the 14th. What else?
Bridging the World's Animal Sanctuary has Adoption Day.
Oh, boy.
I guess tomorrow would be the 7th of April at Teca 2 at San Busco Center.
Meow, take me home too.
And that's from 12 to 3. You can visit the website at bridgingtheworlds.org or call 501-1887. There's good little puppies.
I won't scratch up your furniture. Okay, there's a lot of gallery openings tonight, including the Gary Farmer Gallery of Contemporary Art, which is at 131 West San Francisco Street downtown. They're doing a show called Remix, and it's photos and mixed media work by Cougar V. Hill and Mika Wesley. There's a reception with both video and music by the artist from 5 to 7 p.m. tonight. So that could be fun at the Gary Farmer Gallery if you're downtown San Francisco Street. And if you're also downtown, it is the first Friday of the month, which means it's the Palace Avenue Art Walk. Not that you shouldn't go to Canyon Road, but here's what's happening on Palace Avenue. Lou Allen has Pard Morrison, a show called Peripheral. It's Aluminum Fabrications. That sounds interesting. That's from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Meanwhile, next door at Manitow Galleries, they're doing paintings by B.C. Nowlin and paintings by Bill Baker. The reception's 5 to 7:30 p.m. I suspect all these receptions are 5 or 5:30. Patina Gallery, right next door, 131 West Palace Avenue, is doing wood sculpture by Clay Foster. It's called Fostering the Sacred. That's pretty good, because his name's Foster, so fostering.
You got that.
Oh, sure. I looked it over 4 times. Meanwhile, Peterson Cody Gallery at 130 West Palace Avenue is doing paintings by Tim Soska. It's a retrospective. That's an artist who passed away last year. The reception's 5 to 7:30 p.m. So all these Palace Avenue galleries, as well as the Chuck Jones Gallery down the street, are open tonight. Head on down.
And also, there's just a little off the beaten track at Counterculture. There's an opening of a show called Beauty in Decay, Michael Gallagher's new photography, mostly abstractions of colors and patterns and all sorts of things. It's actually opened a couple days ago, but it runs through the 3rd of May. The reception is, it says Friday, April 4th, but Friday is April 5th.
No, tonight is the reception, 5 to 7.
5 to 7. Oh, he just put the date wrong. Okay.
Yeah, Dave always has his receptions on Friday nights. He says a lot of people go there for that. I went over there to get soup the other day, and I didn't know what I wanted. So I said, just give me whatever kind of soup you have. And he said, matzo ball. You got to have matzo ball soup. It's Easter. So he gave me a matzo ball soup. I'm like over 45 years old, and I never had matzo ball soup in my life. So
was
I take
good?
It back to my... It was delicious.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
My father used to say to me, kid, you're worth your weight in matzo balls.
What about the soup?
Well, we were just talking about the balls.
Do you eat the matzo balls without the soup sometimes?
Well, it's been known to happen. But it's better with the soup.
But those aren't the matzo balls you put in your closet to keep the moths away, right?
That's matzo balls.
Oh, very good.
Poets mix slam and academia for National Poetry Month and a reading on April 9th. That's Monday, a Collected Works bookstore. A free reading by Matt Donovan and Joanne Dwyer at 7 o'clock at Collected Works on San Francisco Street right across from the Lensic.
National Poetry Month's only like 10 years old. Isn't that odd that like they didn't start it till 1996?
Well, it's a good thing they did. Just in time.
Just in time for what?
I don't know.
Holy Week, Baroque. That's Santa Fe Pro Musica's Baroque Ensemble. They're performing the sacred music of Bach, one of those classical musicians whose name I always pronounce correctly. 7:30 p.m. tonight at the Loretto Chapel, 207 Old Santa Fe Trail.
You say Bach?
Bach. Remember the Beatles song, Get Bach, Get Bach. 988-1234. You got to pay to get in. We can't mention prices on KSFR, your community radio station, 90.7 FM. But we can tell you when it's free or by donation. Meanwhile, a cabaret of metamorphosis. This is a multimedia nine-act performance piece by Wise Fool New Mexico, who are teaming up with High Mayhem, Masnavi Dance Collective, and others to do aerial antics, dancing, music, drag, clowning. Anytime somebody says clowning, I get interested.
Mm-hmm.
My mother used to say, stop clowning. She'd always be like that was the thing with me if I was like playing with my green beans or something. She'd say, would you please stop clowning? She was a great straight man. Anyway, that's tonight at 7 p.m. and tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the Wise Fool Studio, which, in case you didn't know, is at 2778 Agua Fria Street. You have to pay, but it's on a sliding scale. I will give you a phone number, 992-2588. I get the sense this is an all-ages thing because they do have special prices for those under 12. It's very cheap. And tomorrow night they're going to have a party at 9:30 after the show. So if you go tomorrow night, there's a DJ after party. But I don't know what DJ's playing. Do you prefer DJs or live?
It depends on how good the DJ is or how good the band is. Better a good DJ playing good music than a lousy band. But better a good band than anything else.
Good point.
The New Mexico Committee of the National Museum of Women in the Arts is inviting people to take private tours of ten New Mexico women artists. They're on the first Thursday from May through September of this year. And it's private tours of 10 artist studios. You have to pay. You can find out more about it and get all your questions answered by calling 505, obviously, 986-9695.
Meanwhile, the Magnolia Electric Company, the Ohio-based indie Americana group, they're performing tonight at 8 o'clock at the College of Santa Fe Student Union Building. Got to pay to get in. It's a little cheaper if you buy things in advance. 473-6511. Did you watch The Electric Company when you were little?
No, I did not.
Do you think, like, when I was 10 and Sesame Street first came on, I was too old to watch it?
You know, you should have been too old to watch it, but I suspect you watched it.
What about if I still occasionally turned it on? Would that be bad?
You know, Robert, that's really not mine to comment on.
Can you tell me what entropy is? Is that when you're tired?
Entropy?
Yeah.
You know, I could tell you what entropy was, but I think we better move on because it would take some time.
But that's the point. This is a lecture called The Discovery of Entropy.
Mm-hmm.
It's from 1824 to 1865, and that's a lecture by Adam Schulman. That's at 8 o'clock tonight at St. John's Great Hall, Peterson Student Center, which is at 1160 Camino Cruz Blanca. This is free, and that's tonight at 8, so that's why I asked you.
Well, it's basically the second law of thermodynamics.
On Saturday, there's a number of gallery openings you might be more curious about. San Bosco Center has a fleeting gallery. It's only staying there for a while, I understand. That's why it's fleeting. They're doing an exhibit and a reception at 5 o'clock called Places and Time, an artist's visual diary. Watercolor field studies, prints, and drawings from 1954 to 2006. It's work by Gordon Mansell. Reception 5 to 8 p.m. Head over to San Bosco Center. And if you're out in El Dorado, there's an opening there on Saturday called, well, it doesn't have a title, but it's in the Two Pairs, P-E-A-R-S, gallery. And it's pastels by Rebecca Farr, paintings by Harrod and Rita Park. The reception's 5 to 8 p.m. In case you're wondering where it is, it's on Caliente Road, number 7, phone number 466-2139. Hey, what time is it?
It is 8:47.
Oh, boy.
And I must tell people that tonight at Salsa Sison, at 9:15, the Cheverendongo Quartet is a quartet playing what looks like probably traditional, to some extent, traditional Cuban music. We have a tres, a bass, a guy in congas, and Nacha Mendez is on vocals.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
And it is just a musical weekend. I can't figure this out, but Madi Sato is going to perform to celebrate the opening of the Soul Room at 8 p.m. on Saturday, right across the street at Body, 333 Cordova Road. You got to pay to get in, 986-0362. They are billing her as a chanteuse. What do you make of that?
Well, that's great.
It is. I thought that was like an after-dinner drink.
That's somebody who sings.
Okay. That same night, Melanie Mansour is performing original jazz, Latin, and Middle Eastern works with the various guests from College of Santa Fe, 7:30 p.m., O'Shaughnessy Performance Center, College of Santa Fe. And that's also the night that the Electro Cryptic Lounge No. 2 performs. It's a Santa Fe Goth Industrial Showcase featuring Something Lovely. This is amazing. Something Lovely, and it's goth. It's 7 p.m. Saturday at Borders, San Busco Center, San Busco. It's free, 954-4707. There's just a lot of music all of a sudden. You think it's spring, and it's bringing out all the musicians?
Yeah, that's a good hypothesis.
Yeah, not only that, but it's a good conjuncture. On Monday
night... Did you say conjecture?
Conjuncture. That's like when you come up with something like you think it's an idea.
Conjecture.
What's a conjuncture?
Conjuncture is a non-word that comes from conjunction, which is something that you learned on Sesame Street.
No, you're thinking about petticoat conjunction. We sang about that a couple months ago. Monday night, there's a lecture, and it has nothing to do with entropy. It's called The Rest of the Rio, Archaeology of the Rio Grande from Socorro to El Paso, and it is a lecture by anthropologist Steve Lexon. 6 p.m. Monday at the Hotel Santa Fe, part of the Southwest Seminar's Ancient Sites, Ancient Stories series. You got to pay to get in. It's 6 p.m. It does benefit Albuquerque's Archaeological Conservancy. So if you're interested in archaeology or the Rio Grande, please consider going to the 6 p.m. lecture Monday night. Here's a phone number, 466-2775.
Hey, Megabytes over at the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts. It's the sixth in a series of informal video programs, and they're having a call for submissions for Megabytes 6. The deadline is May 16th, so we're giving you plenty of notice here. There's no fee to enter. And you can call Diane Armitage. You can write to Diane at CCA Santa Fe or call 982-1338.
I want to mention a couple other things you can enter if you're interested. The Duke City Shootout Digital Filmmaking Festival, which I can't remember when that takes place, but something tells me this summer. They're looking for scripts for the festival. You've got to have under 12 minutes, which is roughly 12 pages. You have to have a cover sheet, the name of the author or authors, your address, your phone number, the whole business. You've got to pay an entry fee. You've got to mail the script and the entry check to the Digital Filmmaking Institute, but I'm not going to put all that information in. You could probably go online and check out Duke City Shootout. Deadline is April 16th, which is next Monday. And by the way, next weekend, if you want to act and you've been dying to just get on stage at the Madrid Melodrama stage, they're having auditions for their 24th season. That's what they're putting in their press release. But I wrote about them last year, and that was their 24th season. I have a feeling this is their 25th season. Anyway,
just recycling last year's press release, and they forgot to change the 4 to a 5.
Well, that could be. But anyway, the auditions are next Saturday, 1 to 4 p.m., and next Sunday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Engine House Theater, right down there in Madrid. You drive down, it's on the left. You want a phone number? Here it is, 438-4418. Although I think if you call there, you end up getting the bar, because this has happened to me. And then, like, the guy at the bar, whoever answers it, has to go find the people, and sometimes they don't come back, or you hear, like, in the background, give me a beer, and they never get back to you.
Listen, you're turning people off. Just give them the darn number.
No, you should go down and audition if you want to be on stage. It's fun to see the melodrama.
Hey, guess what? I got a press release from Bandelier National Monument saying that they're doing registration for annual summer camp. And so if you want to send your kids to summer camp this year, I don't think you can go as a grown-up, but you can certainly enroll your kids, and space is limited, so give them a call at 672-3861, or go online and look up Bandelier National Monument.
Did you do summer camp when you were 8?
I did summer camp when I was, I think, 6 years old, and it was way fun, and then I went to camp when I was 14 to learn to play tennis, and then I became a good little tennis player.
Wait, was it tennis camp?
I went to tennis camp for 2 weeks.
I had to get a tennis shot once, but a dog bit me.
Do you play better?
Yeah, well, I try to avoid the game altogether. The racket goes to my head. Anyway, here we go. There's a lot of museums happening this weekend, and I like to plug the museums, but first I want to point out Thursday night, Ron Hellman Jazz Ensemble are performing at 8 p.m. at Gig, 1808 2nd Street. You got to pay to get in. Check them out online at gigsantafe.com. That's also the night that the Australian Chamber Orchestra presents cellist Peter Wispelwey, the music of Debussy, Haydn. That's Haydn, right?
Haydn.
Yeah, well, he's Haydn on Bach. 8 p.m. at the Lenzic. That's also the night that Night Mother, a very, very excellent play, in terms of scripting, by Marcia Norman, is being presented by Ironweed over at El Museo Cultural in the Rail Yard. They're opening for a 3-weekend run, and that starts Thursday night. Here's a phone number, 660-2379, and I wrote about it, but the story doesn't run until next Friday in the Paso Tiempo.
So the Night Sky Program of New Mexico Heritage
tonight.
Preservation Alliance is having the holiday weekend star party for Good Friday tonight at Hyde Memorial State Park. And that's in association with New Mexico Parks and the Santa Fe Astronomy Club. So star party, that sounds like fun.
Is that like you check out the heavenly bodies of some of the stars?
No, it's like you look at the actual stars that are the real stars, not the phony stars.
Paris Hilton or something.
You can find out more by going to nmheritage.org or give them a call at 989-3696. How many people do you think just wrote down that number?
I don't know. We never know that. Email us once in a while and say, forget the phone number. Some people say they get in the way, and some people say, you didn't give the phone number. We never know.
989-3696. Or you can just go up there, but what time? You see, that's why you have to call them.
Yeah, and sometimes they want pre-registration, and they say, call us first. But you should always get a phone number. That way you can call if you're running late or if you're lost or you want to make sure it's occurring.
Hey, I finally went to the Almodovar film, Volver, which is at the CCA, and it's terrific.
Is that Penelope Cruz?
Uh-huh, Penelope Cruz.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's very, very good. It played 47 times a day when it first came out at the CCA, and now it's interspersed with other films. I think it's still there.
I believe you're right. The Host is still there, which I recommend people see as well. It's a really interesting socio-political horror picture, and it's really it works on a lot of different levels.
Is that about the communion host?
No, I don't think it's got anything to do with the vanilla wafers. It's about a giant tadpole that eats people. But it's got a real message behind it.
Is it funny?
I'm not articulate. I don't know why some critics said it was funny. It has a little humor in the first third, but it really becomes quite serious and challenging and disturbing and thought-provoking. I wouldn't say it was a funny movie.
All right. It
has a little humor in the beginning. Meanwhile, museums, I like to give them a plug once in a while. The Georgia O'Keeffe on Johnston Street is still running Living Artists of Distinction, Sherry Levine, Abstraction, works by that artist through May 13th. And Friday nights are no charge, 5 p.m. and on. Hit these museums tonight. You can get in for free. The Institute of American Indian Arts Museum, which is on Cathedral Place downtown, has Lifting the Veil, New Mexico Women and the Tricultural Myth. That runs through the end of May. And through another 2 weeks, they have the IAIA Spring 2007 Student Honors Exhibition. No charge on Sunday for New Mexico residents. The Museum of Fine Arts downtown, 107 West Palace, has Georgia O'Keeffe's Legacy in New Mexico through early September, and also a show called The Art and Artifice of Science. I have not yet gotten to see these shows, but I will. That's a group show through May 20th. And finally, there's an annual group exhibit by the Site Santa Fe Young Curators called Vices and Virtues that runs through April. Once again, Museum of Fine Arts, downtown, 107 West Palace. Friday nights, no charge for anybody. Sundays, no charge for New Mexico residents.
Hey, I'm noticing here that over at the CCA Cinematheque, they also have a film called Maasai, the Rain Warriors.
That's correct.
Have you seen that?
I have not seen that yet.
It's a fiction film by nature documentarian Pascal Plisson, and it's about the Maasai tribe being faced with a drought that endangers their people and so on. It looks good.
Yeah.
Playing this weekend.
The screen is opening a picture called Mafioso, which I saw. I reviewed it in today's Paso Tiempo.
Oh, yeah?
Pretty interesting. I don't quite totally get it, but it's a great little black and white Italian picture from 62.
Really?
Alberto Sordi's in it. He was a hilarious comedian, and they put him in this sort of serious role with comic undertones. It's really interesting. And I also went to the screen Wednesday night to see the preview of Grindhouse, which opens actually, I think, at the Vargas. And that's Quentin Tarantino teaming up with Robert Rodriguez for two cheesy, roughly 90-minute long thrillers that pay homage to the 1970s exploitation pictures overall, including the funny fake trailers they made for upcoming movies which don't exist. Runs about 3 hours long. I enjoyed it. It's got some flaws, but I enjoyed it. And the Tarantino picture, which is the second one on the bill, starts out really slow with a lot of gabbing, and then it just takes off with this incredibly heart-stopping, thrilling pro-feminist finale that you got to see. Even if you don't go see anything else, go see that. That's at DeVargas. Hey, it's been fun.
Here comes the music.
Here comes the music.
Oh, by the way, did anybody mention that volunteers are needed to plant native trees along the Santa Fe River? So after many years of hard work, the San Ysidro River Park... Oh, no, it's the San Ysidro River. Okay. Park in Agua Fria is almost finished. There's going to be a willow planting on April 7th and 14th from 9 to 3. They're planting lots of trees. Bring gloves, water, a snack, and lunch.
Oh, boy.
They'll be meeting at the parking lot at the San Ysidro Park near the San Ysidro Crossing. You don't need to sign up, but you may call for more information, 820-1696. That and much, much more here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe with Robert Knott. Speaking of the, we should be, call it, speaking of the arts and other stuff.
Are we going to do this next Friday? It's the 13th.
We are indeed.
It's scary.
You know, I think we can. I think I can help you overcome that fear through behavior modification.
Really?
Yes.
Are you going to use a hammer on me like you did last time?
No, I'm just going to say show up and then nothing bad will happen and you'll see that there was no reason to expect anything bad in the first place. Robert Knott is associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday.
That's me.
Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. And he's here every Friday speaking of the arts. It's delightful to have you here.
And it's dilapidated as well.
And thank you all once again, those of you who pledged, for making this pledge drive once again a success. And may it go even more quickly the next time. We did it pretty fast. Lots of new contributors to KSFR, lots of old contributors to KSFR, and all is well here in the land of milk and honey.
And without any sense of entropy.
Without any sense of... I'll explain to you after we get off the air what entropy is. However, that said... My name is Mary Charlotte. We are broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company. I'm here Monday through Friday from about 8 to 9 with the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. And stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz a la carta. Hasta mañana. You can reach me at the radio cafe at ksfr.org email or at 428-1528. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to say goodbye, drive safely, be happy, and Robert Knott, we'll see you next week.
You will.
Mwah.